you are a munchkin, a rugrat, kindergarten through sixth grade, you can head on upstairs for children's church. Children's worship, the beginning of our next generation ministry. Look at them go. They're in a hurry to get out of here. I hear that the snacks are way better up there than they are in here. So, good morning to all of you here in the sanctuary, and good morning to all of you joining us online. I neglect the folks online, and honestly, we have hundreds more people joining us all over the country online than here in beautiful Ely, and I know that they miss you and they miss the worship, and so I just want to say good morning. Good morning, good afternoon, welcome to all y'all. Up here in the frozen north woods, that's not going to be as frozen now for a little while. Isn't it going to be above freezing today? First time since like June or something that it's above freezing. Wow, what a difference. I could talk weather. I'm not sad that some of our brothers and sisters are experiencing Ely weather down in Texas and Arizona or whatever. Serves them right for abandoning us up here, but I think it's just us sharing our love with them. Amen? All right. Yeah. We like it a lot here. We have just enjoyed, you'll read my newsletter coming out in March, and I just shared a little bit about how some of the new things in our life that that we found and discovered here in Ely, and you guys honestly are a huge part of that. What a great marriage, great situation, and God is good all the time. Yep, all the time God is good. That's right. One of the things that I really enjoy and like, and I've been honest about this, is our movies. I really enjoy a good movie, and I especially like to go to the movie theater. I mean, don't get me wrong, my recliner is really comfortable, and I think I make popcorn that's at least as good as the movie theater. It's different, so I enjoy the movie theater popcorn a lot, and that squirt stuff that they say is butter that's not, I like that a lot too. But anyway, I like to watch at home, but I really like to go to the theater. It's just a treat. It's something different. And one of the best parts of going to the theater is the previews. I love the previews. And, you know, I watch them to see, what do I want to watch next? What's the next movie I can go see? What's coming out in the future? I love the previews. They're great. And why do they show previews? Why do they give those to us? Well, it's for us to catch a glimpse of what's coming in the future. It's to excite the viewers about what's coming down the line, to get them to be a participant in that, to get them excited and encouraged to take part of something in the future. And in this case, we're talking about movies, something to look forward to. Well, I know that all of us have endured a very trying year this last year. Some of us might make an argument that you've had many years of trying times, battles with sickness and illness and cancer and different things, struggles in family and extended family, and maybe problems with jobs or whatever. I think all of us could probably make a strong argument that we've had difficulties at times in our lives. And the Bible tells us that while we're here for such a short time, we will face trials. We will face difficulties, that we are engaged in a war. Right now, there is pain. It's a reality. And there are politicians and problems and pandemics, and you and I are engaged in all of that, and struggles and difficulties. And in the midst of all of this, I think sometimes you and I, born-again believers, brothers and sisters, we could use a little bit of encouragement. We could use a little bit of excitement looking forward to the promise of what we have in store for us for all of eternity. And so today's message is just exactly that. It's a glimpse at the future. It's a little bit of hope and a little bit of encouragement and hopefully some excitement for us that no matter where we're at here in this life, that we have a glorious future for all of eternity waiting for us in heaven. So we're going to be in the book of Revelation. In fact, we're going to be in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, the very last chapter of the last book of the Bible. So if you brought a copy, just go to the back and you'll find your concordance and then go back toward the front and you're going to hit the end of the end of the end. And we're going to be in the beginning of the end, verses 1 through 5 of that last chapter in the book of Revelation. And let me just say this about the book of Revelation. It is just that. There's no S on the end. It's a revelation of Jesus to the apostle John through an angel, through Jesus himself, and then through an angel at times as well. And so there's a lot going on in the book, and it's not necessarily our job. It's not laid on my heart to dissect all the different things and try to plug in, is this happening now? Is it going to be in the future? Is it really 1,000 years? Is it going to be is that just a symbol of time has no meaning with God? I don't know. There's really no great answers to some of those things. However, we do know that it's true, that it is God's word. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. In fact, given directly from Jesus to John, and John saw some amazing things that will come to pass. And the letter was geared towards some of the churches at the time and very clearly to us, and warning and just hope for the future and a lot of different things. And so here at the very end, we're looking at the final glimpse that John had of heaven and what it was going to be like. And this is, if you want to read it, read chapter 21 and 22 as well, and you'll get the whole picture of what was going on here at this point. But it's really neat, and it's awe-inspiring, and it brings hope and excitement and encouragement, and I feel like we all could benefit from that sort of thing. So here we go. If you have a copy, follow along. If not, we've got it up on the screen for you as well. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5, and God's word says, "Then he," speaking of this angel, "then he showed me," John, "the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the city's main street. The tree of life was on each side of the river, bearing 12 kinds of fruit and producing its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for healing the nations, and there will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Night will be no more. People will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for bringing us together here today. And Lord, I thank you for speaking to us through your word. I thank you for this message that you have given to me and laid on my heart and prepared in me and through me. And Lord, I pray that you will take it, your truth, and speak it through me here this morning. And Father, I ask you to open up each of our hearts and our minds that we can take a good look, a preview look at what's in the future, and bring hope and excitement and encouragement to our lives right now, no matter what we face. Thank you, Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, the point to today's message is that you and I can be encouraged and excited no matter the difficulties that we may face if we look ahead at the future and if we remember a couple of different things that we'll see spelled out here in this passage. And the first is that this passage speaks richly of some refreshment that God's children will get to experience. The first verse and the beginning of the second verse, it says, "Then he showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the city's main street." I've shared quite a bit with you of my love of paddling canoes. I like water. I like the lakes, especially one of God's greatest gifts in the Boundary Waters lakes. A couple years ago, we went to Knife Lake, and I tell you, it is crystal clear water, amazing. My second smallmouth, I think, of that trip was nearly 5 pounds. Great big smallmouth on a topwater lure. It doesn't get a whole lot better than that. Thank you very much. Yeah. Andy's not here to amen the whole smallmouth topwater thing, but I expect some. But I know walleye is the big thing. But if you've never caught a smallmouth on top, but anyway, you know I like to paddle. I like water. I like rivers. I really like trout. I like trout fishing. Honestly, if it swims in water, I like it. I like to catch it. It's good. I like to eat it. Very good stuff. But I really like trout fishing. Now, growing up in central Illinois, that was pretty tough. We didn't have any trout streams. So we had to drive clear down to like central, south central Missouri to get into some good trout streams. And man, oh man, is that a neat place to be. Beautiful rivers flowing through some wild country, crystal clear, sparkling, and refreshing. And then to make a good cast with the fly rod and drift your fly down and then watch a trout take that fly, it's truly amazing. There's a saying that trout don't live in ugly places. And that's true. I mean, a trout, they can't do it. They have to have cold, clean water or they'll die. Trout don't live in ugly places. I can remember a couple of, boy, hot days in the summertime when it is just sweltery and humid. Southern Missouri in the summer is hot, rocks and hot, I mean, hot, humid. And if you're out fishing, you can just lay down in that cool water and be absolutely refreshed, cooled off, and then stand up and catch another trout. It's not as good as the Boundary Waters, but it's close. It's pretty neat. So what we catch a glimpse of here in Scripture is even greater than that. This river that the Scripture talks about coming out of the throne of God and running down the middle of the street, this river of water, the water of life and clear as crystal, coming right out of the throne of God. It's spectacular. This is the water of life. If you've ever read the book of John, chapter 4, Jesus is meeting with the Samaritan woman. It's quite a memorable passage. And there they meet at this well, and she's drawing water. And Jesus is gearing the conversation into a spiritual nature. And he uses the water as a reference. And he tells her that this water that you're about to drink from, you can drink from it all you want, but you're going to get thirsty again. I'm offering you some water. In fact, the water of life, that if you'll drink my water, you'll never, ever thirst again. And here it is in fulfillment, in completion. We see the picture of this water of life flowing from the throne of God that's glorious and majestic and clear as a crystal, beautiful and pure. It's a picture of you and I and the eternal refreshment that we will enjoy together for all of eternity, drinking right out of this river, running down the middle of the street, sparkling in all of its grandeur. I can't even imagine the beauty. I don't only like fish and popcorn. I also enjoy some good old-fashioned American Chinese food, especially when it comes in the form of a buffet. Can I get an amen? I like Chinese buffets, and I cannot lie. So you're tracking with me. The thing about Chinese food is you can go to that buffet, and you can eat all you want, like all you want. Sit down, get comfortable, go back as many times as you want, stuff yourself, and then look at your watch, because about an hour and a half, you're hungry again. That's why we just stay there all day. And so in an hour and a half, we go back again and get more. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. Look at what the Scripture says after it talks about the river. The tree of life was on each side of the river. Now, we don't know exactly what this is going to look like. this we do know is a picture of the Garden of Eden, but even more glorious than the garden. This picture, this new Jerusalem, this heaven that has now descended and God's throne is there and his presence is there and this river is flowing and the tree is there. We don't know exactly what that looks like. We don't know if it's a grove of trees, rows of trees, one large tree that just takes up this whole area. We don't know, but it's spectacular. It's glorious and full of grandeur. And it says that it's continually bearing its fruit. It's always bearing fruit every month. And that fruit is for us to enjoy. Remember the tree of life in the Garden of Eden? This is the tree of life now in heaven. And bearing this fruit that you and I can eat and enjoy and will give us eternal life forever and ever. These trees are bearing this miraculous and delicious fruit, and the river of crystal clear water is flowing right there, and we get to be there and enjoy it all together. I won't use any names, but our youngest child, Caleb, is a picky eater. Some of you have had us over for supper, and we love that. We enjoy that and breakfast. It's great. And some of you will say, well, what will Caleb eat? Caleb and Isabel. Isabel's a little picky, but she's getting better. But I'm telling you what, Caleb, like, unless it's a dessert, he can, like, sense that it's dessert, and he will eat and try anything that's labeled as dessert. But if it's anything to do with main course or side dish or whatever, I don't know about that. Pray for us. Pray for him. No matter how picky you may be in your own life and in your own diet, look at what we get to experience and enjoy. This tree of life was on each side of the river bearing 12 different kinds of fruit. No matter how picky you may be, 12 different kinds of fruit. I'm sure each of us can find something that is absolutely delicious that we can enjoy and give us life forever and ever and ever. And then look at the next part describing the tree or these trees. The leaves of the tree are for healing the nations. So not only is the river flowing out of the throne of God and it's crystal clear and it's the water of life and the tree is bearing 12 different kinds of fruit each and every month for us to enjoy and be nourished, not temporarily, but for all of eternity, but the leaves of this tree are going to be therapeutic. We get our English word from this Greek word, and we translate it therapeutic. The Greek word speaks of healing and soothing and refreshing, like aloe on a sunburn. The tree that's there on this street near the throne of God is bearing fruit, and its leaves are healing us, and the water is flowing. You talk about refreshment. Those that are faithful till the end, those that have given their lives to Jesus, each of us will be eternally refreshed in the presence of God Himself. But then it doesn't stop with just refreshment. It goes on and it speaks of some rewards. This passage is a great preview for all of us, looking forward at the future with so many great and majestic rewards. I know here on this earth we are facing problems and difficulties, and there's sickness, and there's illness, and there's surgery, and there's pain, and there's cancer, and even death. And it's sad, and a part of my time is spent talking with people that have been facing surgeries or have done that or are sick or looking forward at what they're going to do and cancer and all. It's a difficult time for all of us. And as hard and difficult as all of that is, if we look at this passage, we will see a great reward for all of us. Verse 3 says, and there will no longer be any curse. You see, the harsh reality of the world that we live in right now is it is broken and fractured because of sin, because of our sin and choice to rebel against God's perfect ways. And the Bible says that each of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the penalty for sin is this curse. work and labor and pain and death and all the tragedy around us. None of this was ever God's intent. But in our rebellion, it's the cause of that sin that separated us from God and His perfect love. And then in God's perfect love, He sent Jesus to make all these wrongs right. Not now, right now, but for eternity. And here the scripture says this reward that we will face is that there will be no more crying, no more pain, no more death, no more sickness, that curse will be abolished. Then it goes on. It says, not only will there no longer be any curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there in the city. The throne, see in the Old Testament, if you read back in the first part of the Bible, it talks about the tabernacle that the Israelites built. And there in the center of the tabernacle was where the Ark of the Covenant would go. And that was the symbolic presence of God. I mean, he dwelt there. I know he's omnipresent and he dwells everywhere, but that was the picture of God's very presence. And then the Israelites, starting with Solomon, he built the temple for God. It was a permanent residing place for God. And in the middle of God's temple was the innermost sanctuary. And they called it the Holy of Holies, and that's where God resided. And only the highest priest of all of the priests could go in there. He had to go through a bunch of rituals to come into the presence of God. Now, I got to go to Israel a couple of years ago, and I got to go to Jerusalem, and I visited the Wailing Wall, and it was incredible. The whole trip is amazing. If you ever get the chance, it's definitely the trip of a lifetime. But there at the Wailing Wall, what people do is they go, and that's the outside of the old temple. And so the people go and they visit there, and there's some stuff you have to go through to get to go in, but then you take prayer requests and write them on paper, and there's cracks all over the wall, and you stick your prayer requests in the crack. And then people wail and cry, and they touch the wall, and they press their bodies and faces up against the wall, and they pray because in their mind, some of these Jewish people, they think that's the closest they can get to God's presence. Is there hugging the wall of the temple, because in the center of the temple is that Holy of Holies, the place where God resided, and they want to get close. In fact, you can go underneath that area. See, the Jerusalem is amazing. It's so old, and it's been conquered and destroyed and rebuilt, and there's layers and layers to the city. All of Israel's that way. The archaeology is incredible. You can just cut down through the ground and see layer upon layer of civilizations. It's so old, it's amazing. But if you go underneath the temple, underneath that Wailing Wall, you can get even closer down below than you can up top. So we went down there, and there were several people down there praying, because see, in their mind, that was even closer, the closest they could get to God, and maybe, just maybe, He would hear their prayers. So you and I, we know better. We know different. We know that God is everywhere at all times. The churchy word is called omnipresent. God is truly everywhere. And then for born-again believers, we're promised that the Spirit of God Himself dwells inside each of us. And we're told that Jesus is perpetually interceding for us, the saints, to the Father. We have immediate, direct, full-time, all-the-time access to God anywhere we go, at any time. But here in this passage of Scripture, His throne is located there. His presence is there. That's ultimately what heaven means, is to be in God's very presence. And the throne of God, and get this, and of the Lamb will be there in the city. And see, at that time, while we're being refreshed for all of eternity, the reward will be that we are going to be in the very presence of God, right there with Him at His throne. Some years ago, I got to go to a men's event called Promise Keepers, and it was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We were there trying to evangelize some Packers fans and tell them the error of their ways. And there in this civic center place, I don't know what it's called, but absolutely like full capacity, sold out, 25,000 men gathered for the weekend. And let me tell you, the Spirit of Jesus was rich and thick in that place. And I can remember the worship time, the worship team leading us, 25,000 men singing together in unison, the sound of the praise and worship that echoed throughout that facility was awe-inspiring. I know today in modern English, we can't fathom the meaning of the word awesome. We've diminished it. But let me tell you, this was awesome. I can still remember it so clearly today. The sound of all those voices worshiping and praising a risen Savior together, it brings tears to my eyes right now. As great and mighty and wonderful as that time with all those men was, look at what this says. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will worship Him. The Bible speaks that every tribe and every tongue will be represented there in heaven, that we will have brothers and sisters from all over the planet. And as awesome as 25,000 men were singing together, imagine the millions upon billions of our brothers and sisters standing together in this glorious place, worshiping God as He's seated on His throne in this majestic city. What a reward that will be for all of us. And as amazing and wonderful and powerful and awe-inspiring that will be, it gets even better. Look at verse 4. Speaking of us, children of God, born-again believers, it says they will see His face. You and I will finally get to look upon His face. I can only imagine. See, Moses just begged God, let me see Your face. Let me see Your glory. And God said, you can't see my face, but He let Moses catch a glimpse of His back. And it burned Moses' face. He glowed and it scared the people. Such was the awesome presence of God. And you and I are not only going to be gathered together and enjoying fruit and water and there at His throne and worshiping Him, but we are going to finally get to look upon Him, the Creator of heaven and earth, look upon His face and then see His smile of approval at us for the work that we did while we were here in the flesh. No matter what you face, the long and difficult life, it will be beyond our explanation. It goes on, after we get to see His face, these rewards just continue. They will see His face, and then get this, His name will be on our foreheads. He is going to brand each one of us, again, His children, those who have turned from those of us who have turned from our sins and given our lives over to Him. We will be with Him. We will worship Him. We will gaze upon His glorious and majestic face, and His name is going to be upon our foreheads. He will brand us as His children forever and ever. Oh, what a day. Confession time for the Ebert family. And you can pray for us. See, it's really convenient that the kids and my wife are not here. So I can say whatever I want, and she doesn't even know. So Teresa generally gets up before I do. And she goes out of the bedroom and into the living room. And then she sits in her chair, and she reads Scripture, and she does like a bunch of devotions, and then she reads more Scripture. And she really enjoys it, having the lights out. I don't really know why. I'm not quite sure, but it's soothing, it's relaxing. She likes to see the sun coming up. I get that. I enjoy, but she comes. It's dark. I mean, dark. Well, I've got very, very low vision, and one of the worst parts of it is darkness is tough. I can't see well in the light, and too much light's not good, and darkness is no good. It's not good. It's not good. But I come out, and I have to have some light, so I'll turn on the light. Guess what her reaction is? When she's been sitting there in the quiet, in the presence of the Lord, and suddenly there's this light that it's not a good time for the Ebert family. prayer need right there. No, I'm kidding a little bit, but she does. She likes the dark and I like the light. I enjoy the light. I like the sunrise. I get it. But I turn on the lights. I want to be able to see. I appreciate good lights. It's valuable to me. I mean, most people don't like the dark. Kids are afraid of the dark. The darkness isn't necessarily good. Well, look at Verse 5 says that night will be no more. There will be no more darkness, that people will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. And get this, because the Lord God will give them light. I've got some really cool headlamps and flashlights and lanterns, and I love them. I appreciate good light when it's dark, and those things, no matter how great they are, they're going to be garbage because the light of Jesus will be there. He illuminates the entire city just to be in His presence. Darkness is gone. It's abolished. It'll flee from His presence because Jesus is the light of the world. And those that reject God's love and reject His Jesus and His gift of salvation will be facing eternal darkness forever. And those of us that have chosen Jesus will rejoice in the light forever and ever. And it goes on, lots of refreshment and lots of rewards. But then those of us, you and I, that are right with God through Jesus, we will reign forever and ever. We get to reign with Jesus forever. You see, the truth is that as a child of the King, you are also a king and a queen in heaven. See, each of us will receive a crown of full of jewels from all of our work and our effort as our life here on this earth as we serve Him and glorify Him. And we're going to take those crowns and we're going to throw them at His feet. And you and I will rule with the King of Kings, as little kings and little queens with Him forever and ever. I know that right now we face some trials and some tribulations, some struggles and some difficulties. We have dear loved ones right now that are facing cancer, that are facing some brutal surgeries and heart surgeries and all sorts of things. We've lost loved ones over this last year. This life right now can be a challenge. It can be a struggle. Jesus didn't promise anything but He gave us an amazing and a beautiful glimpse at the future that you and I, whenever we're struggling, we can turn to the back of the book because we win. You and I can look at this passage and see who God is and what He's done and the promise of the glory awaiting all of us that remain faithful, that have truly given our lives over to Jesus because He is so worthy. He is the Lamb of God. And we will experience refreshment forever and rewards beyond our wildest dreams. Maybe that can bring some hope and some encouragement, maybe even some excitement to all of us, no matter what we face right now. Let's pray. Father, thank You, thank You, thank You for who You are and what You've done and the promise of what we have in store for us in the future. And Lord, I pray for each one of us, no matter what we face, that even when it's difficult, that we will fully trust in You, that we will say, Lord, You're worthy and I am not. Lord, do what You want and be glorified in all of that. And Lord, may we eagerly await Your return and then this glorious picture that we have. Oh, Father, You are so good. We thank You for Jesus and the forgiveness of sin that we have through Him. And we thank You for this promise of heaven to look forward to. Oh, Lord, we love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.